Hi, Royals fans. This is J.J. Piccolo. The University of Kansas Health System is the official health care provider of the Kansas City Royals. Get the major league care you deserve at kansashealthsystem.com/royals.
The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. And right now, we have former Chiefs defensive lineman Bill Mostro joining us. Bill, good morning. How are you?
Steven, good morning. What's going on, Nate? You know what really gets me going is when I hear you read that Valentine's underwear thing,
That's right.
That just does it for me, man.
It does it for a lot of people, Bill. It's a pajamagram, and that's send that to the love in your life, and you will have a happy Valentine's Day, Bill.
Code nude.
That's
love
right.
It.
The code is nude. N-U-D-E.
Yeah.
Hey, we get right to it. Pajamagram.com.
Right.
They don't play, all right? They know what we need. And so something. See that?
We're talking about a very fertile morning show here.
That's exactly right.
For a reason. Then a lot of children.
And let me tell you, what I need is the Chiefs' defensive line or the Chiefs' offensive line to protect Patrick Mahomes from that defensive line. We were reading through some of the numbers, including the postseason, and they are remarkable. They have four different guys that have at least 12 sacks. So if you include the postseason, Hassan Reddick has 19.5, Sweat has 12.5, Hargrave has 12, Graham has 12, and then Fletcher Cox has 8. Just tell me about that matchup and what the Chiefs can do to try to slow down that tremendous pass rush by the Eagles.
Yeah, you know, Steve, I think that, the old adage that Marty Schottenheimer used to say and tell us was, you are what you emphasize, right? I mean, everybody knows about the run option and the RPOs that Jalen Hurts runs, and everybody knows that the Eagles have a great pass rush, And so these guys are professionals. And like you saw when they stepped up against Cincinnati, I think, and we had talked about this, I think that the rest of the team rallied and picked their game up, knowing that their leader was wounded and was going to be a tough go. So that offensive line stepped up, the defensive line stepped up, the special teams stepped up. Everything that we saw all year long that was question marks, the run on defense, right? The special teams play. All those things that were glaring problems all year, all of a sudden were cured. And I think that's going to have carryover, because I think this team realizes that they need everybody and the most out of everybody to get this job done.
You know, that brings up a point, Bill, that I'm curious about. We spoke a lot during the last, I feel like, couple months of the season when the Chiefs were playing some pretty bad NFL teams, and we were frustrated that they didn't seem to be able to put those teams away, played a little sloppy maybe. They were inconsistent. And I've said a few times, I just feel like they're just waiting for the games that matter. Like they're
right.
Just kind of grinding through these things, and then they're going to flip a switch, almost like NBA teams do when they get to the playoffs. Is that stupid, or is that true? Like, are they about to play the best game they've played all year because this is the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think so, and I was right there with you too. I remember saying that multiple times that, you know, the regular season was just a prerequisite for him, you know, and sometimes you saw some, you know, not so attractive football. But I think that when these games are real meaningful for them, that this team has another gear that kicks in. And I think you're going to see that Sunday. I just see that if Kansas City gets strikes early and they get up early, to force Jalen Hurts to throw the ball is going to be in the best situation that the Chiefs can be in my opinion. I think forcing him to throw and play catch up really benefits the Chiefs. I don't think he's that great of a thrower. And then you add in the combination of the injured shoulder. That could be the scenario that gets this Super Bowl victory for us. Strike early, make them play catch up, force him to do things he's uncomfortable with. Don't let them bring the game to us with keeping it on the ground, with the RPO, with the run options. Don't let them do that. Take them out of that and force them to have to play from behind.
I'm with you. I mean, getting off to a fast start, I mentioned that a little bit earlier on the show, is so important because even though so much attention is being paid to the ankle of Patrick Mahomes, it's the shoulder of Jalen Hurts that's still somewhat of a mystery. And so I asked the other guests, which do you think will end up being the bigger issue? And I think it's going to be Hurts' shoulder. What do you say?
Yeah, and that's the gamble, really is, Steven. I mean, both of them are one hit away from those things being a problem again. So that's really the million-dollar question, if they can get through it. But I've seen enough and know enough about who number 15 is that if I'm wagering anything, my chips are going to be on him. The guy is just remarkable at all aspects of his game and what he brings to this team. So chips are on him, buddy.
Okay, so I've been accused of doing some mental gymnastics to try to give reasons why I think the Chiefs are going to win. And so I'll just, again, we've talked about this, but I'll run this past you. I look at it, I do think that the Chiefs benefited from having to go through the tougher path. I mean, they had to overcome Joe Burrow and the Bengals. And whoever was going to come out of the AFC between the Bills, Bengals, and Chiefs, I was picking them in the Super Bowl. And you can only play this in front of you, but the Giants, the Eagles kicked their ass three times, and Daniel Jones is the quarterback. The 49ers had Brock Purdy for a minute, and then Josh Johnson down to the fourth-string quarterback. And so a much easier path. And I just feel like the AFC is better than the NFC. And if you survive Buffalo and Cincinnati and running through that gauntlet, you're just the better, more battle-tested team. How much weight do you put into that?
I agree with you. You know, just the fact that knowing that you're going to be in a knockdown drag out when you play the teams you mentioned, when you play the Cincinnati, when you play the Buffaloes, when you play the Chargers, you know, the Dolphins, there's combined, when you're looking at the landscape, you know that it's going to take everything you have to weather the storm and to come out on the top of that. Where I think the NFC, it could have been anybody. It really could have been. I don't think there was that, you know, you talk about the NFC teams, which ones were out there that were dominant. Well, it was the number one seed, and that's pretty much it. They knew they could go through the NFC, through that conference, without having a knockdown drag out and putting everything on the line and finding ways to come from behind or weather a storm. I do agree with you on that, and that plays a lot into it. When you get into one of those knockdown dragouts and you haven't been in one and you've got to get back up and get back up and get back up again when you're not used to it, it doesn't come naturally. It's hard to do. And the Chiefs have been accustomed to doing that since they won their first Super Bowl. That's what they do.
Okay, Bill, so a little bit ago you said that one of the great things about this team right now is that it seemed like some of the things that really caused them problems in the regular season They got fixed in that AFC Championship game, like the special teams. Sky Moore has a big punt return.
Right.
At the same time, wasn't the toughest punt to field. It was low. He had a lot of space to catch. And Kadarius Toney's coming back, we think, from injury. But he's had a tough time getting through even a game here or there for the Chiefs. If you're Andy Reid and Dave Tobe and Eric Bieniemy and you're talking about this, if you think you got to limit Tony's, let's just say you got to limit him in this game in terms of how much you put him out there. Is it more important to have him as a weapon on offense or to have him back returning punts if you got to kind of choose one over the other?
Boy, you know, the problem, the guy is so explosive in his moves on the field that you can see why the injuries occur.
Right.
I mean, I feel like someone needs to teach him how to run differently. Because, no, I mean...
I hear what you're saying.
You see it on the field. Those moves are so explosive and change of direction that I understand why these ailments happen and these muscle injuries occur. I mean, my gosh. The torque he puts on those joints is unbelievable. I love it about him. I mean, that's what makes him so dynamic as a player. But, you know, until you can show me that you can find a way to do that and keep yourself maintain health, which has been his problem all along, I don't know. That's a big risk. I think if you're going to use him, this offense becomes a lot more dangerous when he's in that huddle. You have to be responsible for him vertically and horizontally. And that occupies the safeties. It occupies how you play defense. Those stretches, the sweeps we see, that stretch that field horizontally. They're using every bit of the field. There's more green grass out there to use for this offense. And it's not just played in the middle of the field. So, yeah, if you're going to use him and you have to be selective on it strategically, I think it benefits the offense a lot more.
Bill Moss is our guest. Bill, what do you think will be the bigger weapon for the Chiefs in this game? Isaiah Pacheco running the ball or Jerick McKinnon catching the ball?
Wow, yeah. So I think it's going to be McKinnon because I think they're going to find ways to get him in space. Look, that defensive line is really good. We know that for Philadelphia. Isaiah Pacheco is going to get his, and he's going to work hard for every bit of it. McKinnon, they're going to be able to get him, on some matchups to free him up a little bit and get him in space. And he's dangerous out there, and that's a matchup out there when you get him on a linebacker, right? So, yeah, I think that he's going to be a bigger factor.
Bill Moss is our guest. Do you think the Chiefs will be able to run the football? You mentioned that defensive line. Will they be able to run the football effectively with Pacheco?
I mean, they're going to have to muster up. They do it collectively when they run the ball, right? I mean, we've never had like, hey, Isaiah Pacheco, 112 yards this week. You know, we don't have that. We have a combined 120. And that includes everybody with, you know, quarterbacks, wide receivers, all the backs. And that's kind of been the MO of our run game. We haven't had that luxury yet of having that, you know, lead back that just carries the load and you're going to have to stop them. Haven't had that yet. You know, we do it collectively and that's how we muster, you know, adequate runs. So I think you're going to see more of the same. Ronald Jones possibly in that mix as well, yeah.
How much do you put into the Chiefs' experience in the coaching staff with Super Bowls, especially Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo, not only with the Chiefs, but what he did with the New York Giants and helped stop one of the most unbelievable offenses we've ever seen with the Patriots? I mean, those are two guys that have won plenty of big games that have 2 weeks to game plan. How much do you think that will affect this game, the advantage and experience with the Chiefs coaching staff?
Steven, I think a lot. I mean, you can have a plan in place and you can have it all spelled out, but as often as Andy's been there, and he's got all the playbooks dusted off, and they're all coming out, and he knows the itinerary, right? It's about efficiency and use of time. He knows everything that's going to go on. They've got it planned out. They had Arizona set up and scouted out back in December. They know what they're going to do and how to do it and how to be efficient and precise and get the most out of their time. When you're going as the first-year coach and young team, yeah, you've got an itinerary, you've got a plan, but all that can go to hell real quick for a number of different reasons. So, I think that the veteran group that Andy has and his team, it really will bring a lot and mean a lot in the outcome of this game.
You know, I was thinking about it. We were just talking with Adam Teicher about this, you know, the fact the Chiefs have been in three out of the last four Super Bowls, and from a coaching staff standpoint, a lot of those guys have been there. But when you look back, Adam pointed out, you look back at Super Bowl LIV, the one that the Chiefs won, there's a very, very small handful of players that were on that team. But as I look at it, Bill, those players were Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Chris Jones, the most important players on the team. How much can those guys, I feel like if I try to put myself in the shoes of a rookie or a second-year player that's never been in the Super Bowl, the leaders on my team have already been through this a couple times. I'm going to follow their lead in everything, right? Like, it does, that seems like a no-brainer. How much will that help, just the fact that the leaders have been through this before?
Well, I can't stress enough the importance of a veteran player in a locker room. And I mean from the get-go, from when rookies come into the locker room, you know, it's their first time. It's their first time in the NFL. They don't know what to expect. They know what a locker room's like, but they don't know what to expect. And you look at what other players do and how they do it. You look to the veteran players and see how they're doing things. And when you got a guy like Patrick and Kelce and Jones now at their ages, the importance of that is so great. You rely on that not only as, okay, this is how we go about our business, but it's also a security blanket. It really it makes you feel comfortable in what you're doing and how you're going about what you're doing, and gives you the confidence that, hey, man, I'm doing what these guys are doing, and I know we can do it. I can't tell you how the importance of that.
You know, a guy that I should have mentioned in that list, too, is Frank Clark. You know,
why didn't you mention Frank Clark?
It's stupid.
The hell is wrong with you?
Because, and Bill, we were, when Stephen and I went to the media availability last week, when Frank got up and spoke, he gave like a detailed scouting report of the entire Eagles offense. And what day was that? Like Wednesday?
Wednesday. It was like Coach Frank Clark.
Yeah. Boy, I don't know what your expectations are of him in this game, but I'd just love to get some thoughts from you on play offense, Super Bowl Frank Clark.
You know, I think that he's got himself in a position that he's dedicated the off season, from the alcohol to his diet to keeping his stomach regulated. All the things he's committed to are for this. He's got a place now in history as far as sacks and playoffs, and I mean, he doesn't want to stop there. This is the biggest stage in professional sports, really, and he's got the opportunity to go do something. I mean, I guarantee you, this guy is just wired in, tuned in, and he's going to make stuff happen. That's who he is. When the lights get a little bit brighter, and they're going to be the brightest, Frank Clark steps up.
So everyone's worried about Carl Cheffers ruining this game because of what he did.
That's a real thing,
right,
too, man.
The Super Bowl against Tampa and the flag fest that was. And remember, to the the call against Chris Jones for too hard of a sack. All these different things that we've seen recently. But then Sammy Dowd wrote in his column, Mahomes is 8-2 in games that Carl Cheffers has started. Yes, there have been some really bad calls, but the Chiefs usually overcome it. But there's nothing that can deny that Carl Cheffers and his crew, it won't be his crew, only one of his crew will be there, but his crew, they throw more flags than anyone. And so whether it's for or against the Chiefs, that could rear its ugly head and just ruin the flow of the game. So how concerned are you about that?
Well, yeah, it's tough. And it gets even tougher when your hand's selecting the play, the officials, right? It's not a crew that's worked together all the time, correct?
Right.
So that becomes even more difficult because crews that work together, they know how each other are doing the same things and what to expect. I just hope it's kind of more along the lines of, you know, let the guys play kind of deal. I don't think there's anything worse than when officiating gets in the middle of it and gives calls for things that, you know, just aren't there. You know, the flops and the things, just of those nature, you just don't need that. There's enough things to do with instant replay and inside of 2 minutes and things that can change games that they can get the calls right. All the other stuff, I just kind of hope they leave that flag in their pocket and don't get in the middle of it.
All right, Bill, give me your official prediction. What's the score going to be?
I think the team rallies just like they did against Cincinnati. I think that everybody picks their game up a little bit more and the Chiefs win this. I like it somewhere in the neighborhoods of 28-24 Chiefs. I'd like the over two here, obviously. So, yeah, that's it. That's where I'm going. That's where I'm riding. I'm going out there Thursday. I can't wait.
We're writing it down. Bring home a championship, Bill. Thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it, guys. Have a great one. Go Chiefs.
That's right. You do the same. That's Bill Moss, who joins us every Monday.